Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey America, I'm Chad Pagano, former Army sniper, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're about to experience the Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm here with my co-host, the great American, Chef Chris Gesualdi. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Chad, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited about today's show. We spent the last two shows talking about my Second Amendment rights, fighting for that, Governor Cuomo and his ridiculous SAFE Act. But we're off that now. We're back on track. We're talking about wild game, hunting, the great outdoors, Chef. Feel good about that?
Feel great about that.
I think it's a relief. I got the whole Second Amendment thing off my back. I feel good about it.
So there's nothing else you'd want to say about that?
Oh, please. We could do a separate show. We'll talk to Jack about that, the whole separate show about the Bill of Rights. Because we're a bunch of sheep. We just follow. See, you try to get me wound up, and that's how easy it is. Now, you know what, Jack? Forget coyotes. We're doing Second Amendment. I don't care. If you don't like that, you know, this is America. We got a Bill of Rights. Stand up. So, follow my politicians. Right, Chef?
That's right.
Ridiculous.
Sorry, I got you wound up again.
You did, but enough. Let's talk about coyotes, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting. I'm a big, if you've been listening to the show, I'm a hunter. That's how I survive. I need to get out of the city. I need to be in the great outdoors. I need to be in the woods. So I grew up as a deer hunter, my family primarily. My father would take me bird hunting. We'd do some duck hunting, pheasant, and deer hunting. When the deer hunting season hit, I didn't call it, and the hunters in my family didn't call it, but, and not to be sexist, but the women who didn't hunt in my family called it the ordeal. It was the ordeal. The ordeal approaches. We called it the season, but they called it the ordeal. We got the rifles out. We were shining them up, get our gear washed. We had the pack, planning, menus for our hunting camp. How are we going to get gear up there? The whole process was something for me, and we'd hunt during the deer season. We were relatively successful over the years. But when the season ended, I always had this big letdown. I was depressed. Wow. Nothing to do. Can't get out in the woods. Nothing to really hunt. You could go rabbit hunting or something. We would try to do some bird hunting, quail hunting or something. But it was a big letdown for me. So I decided a couple of years ago, actually, you know what? I got to bridge the gap between the deer season and the spring turkey hunt. And really, the only thing to hunt, well, worth hunting at that time, is coyotes. My rule, Chef, is if you kill it, you eat it. So when I took down my first coyote, it became real. I said, wow, I got to figure out a way to prepare this thing. So, being a pastry chef, I'm not that good with the culinary side of things. But I know enough. I've picked stuff up over the years from you guys. And I said, all right, this is a tough meat, lean meat. I got to stew it. So we hacked it up, threw it into a stew, and it was brutal. It was brutal. I ate like two bowls of it, and I had to put it away. We had like a gallon of it, and then I just froze it. And then I forced myself to eat it every couple of months. I broke out a little bit, rewarmed it, and ate it. But it became gritty. It was like grizzly. It was leather. You couldn't chew through it.
You threaten the kids with that. If you're not good, you're going to eat
coyote. Oh, my son, forget it. He was like beside himself. Are you kidding me with this? He's like, get this way. It smelled like dog food. No pun intended, since we're talking about a dog.
Now, I heard a guy say once when he was cooking it, it smelled like burning tires. And yeah, when he ate it, it tasted just like burning tires.
I like that because it's true enough. It was horrible. My wife was disgusted with the smell in the kitchen. Luckily, I guess for her, maybe for me, It was the only coyote I ever killed. I've had very little success coyote hunting, truthfully.
But when there's nothing else to hunt, why don't you just invest in like a drone?
Yeah, right. I could get one from Iran, maybe. I think they're making them now off of our crashed one. No, listen. Coyotes are very interesting animals. First of all, I did a little research on them. You know, I've said, all right, I'm going to go out and hunt this animal. I got to learn their traits, their way, you know, their way in the woods. I know everything about deer hunting. I could track a deer. I didn't really know much about coyotes. The only coyotes I had seen growing up over all these years hunting were by accident. I would happen to be in my tree stand hunting for deer, and a coyote would run by, or a coyote would be milling about. My father had taken a coyote years ago. I remember I was probably 10 years old. I was out. I heard a shot, got out of a tree stand, thought you hear a shot. He took down a deer, got over there, and he had killed a coyote, a big coyote. It was 70 pounds or something. It was in the local newspapers up in Sullivan County. It was a big deal back then. that was probably in the early 80s, mid-80s. Since then, the coyote populations have become healthy, very healthy in New York State. I mean, we have very healthy coyote families running all over from the southern tier, really from New York City up to the Adirondack Mountains. You know, the eastern coyote, as it's called, you know, is thought of only to live in these wild parts of New York State. But it is adapting to live really, you know, it's getting used to people. It's getting used to being around people. And they've been sighted, and there was a big coyote chase a couple of years ago down in New York City. They were in Central Park running around. We had cops out looking for them. They finally cornered it somewhere in the city and got it. Maybe there was only one. But usually, if there's one, if there's a male, there's a female with it. They're very family-orientated animals. And, you know, the thing is, the city would make a perfect environment for a coyote because the coyote's a scavenger. It would be perfect in Central Park. Set up its den in Central Park. It'd be able to venture out on its hunt. It eats small animals. It's a scavenger. It'll eat dead animals. It'll eat berries, various fruits and grasses. It's a very adaptable animal. You know, we've seen cases in the Hudson Valley where the coyote families are encroaching on homes and families. People are, you know, people are worried. There was a case, I don't know if you remember this one, a mother and daughter were at the local park somewhere in the Hudson Valley, it was actually Westchester. And they were, the mother was pushing the daughter on a swing, sat down, and a coyote, male coyote, approximately 40 pounds, came out of the woods and was stalking the daughter. She had the mother had to fight the coyote off. That coyote was going to try to take the little girl down. So, you know, they'll take advantage of what they have. And that's the other justification I have for hunting them. You know, they're, first of all, they take down my beloved deer, and I need to take the deer down. That's not the job of the coyote. And second of all, we need to control the herd, just like every other animal I hunt is done responsibly. I know you don't like to hunt, Chef. You feel strongly about not killing animals. I don't know. It's a religious thing with you or something. I don't know what it is. He'll hack them up. He'll fry them. He'll poach them. He'll cook them in a bag in water, his molecular gastronomy stuff. But he refuses to get his gear on and come out hunting with me.
Yeah, I just look at animals as like being, it's going to sound a little wimpy, but beautiful.
I do too.
And I know you got to control them, but yeah, I leave that to somebody else.
All right, well, I'm taking care of that for you, Chef. Don't worry.
But normally the coyote, yeah, they're going to go after little kids. They're not going to go after somebody big like you or I.
No.
Unless you corner them.
No, which brings up a point. I actually had a run-in with a coyote last season? No, two seasons ago. I was hunting this new property I gained access to. I met someone. He got 600 acres in Orange County. He said, hey, why don't you come up and hunt my property? Thank you. So I went up. I scouted a little bit. Didn't know my way around. Spent 2 days hunting. Really didn't see much. On the third day of the hunt, I decided, you know what? I'm going to change things up. I had been seeing deer in the afternoon at night as I was leaving on this logging road down this ridgeline. And I didn't have a tree stand set up. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bring back my climbing tree stand. There was one other guy who hunted the property, had permission to hunt. I hadn't met him yet. And so I pulled into this little area I park outside of the property on this logging road, and I was gearing up, and I was getting my climber out. The climbing tree stand, it's a tree stand you could lock on. It's portable. You carry it on your back. You could lock it onto a tree and you know, physically use the stand to climb the tree and then hunt from. So I was getting this thing. It's a bit of a pain in the neck. It's a little noisy. It's not the preferred way for me to hunt, but you know, I wanted to hunt this new area. It was my only choice. So as I'm getting ready to leave, this guy who hunts the property pulls up, and I had never met him before. It's the middle, you know, it's 4 a.m. It's pitch dark. And he gets out of the car, introduces himself, and he says, "Hey, you're Chad. Oh, I heard you have permission. Where are you hunting?" I said, "Well, I was trying down here, but now I'm going to try to ridgeline here. I've been seeing deer." He goes, "Oh, you're going to use that climber? Don't use that. I have a tree stand set up down on the bottom of the ridge." And I said, "Hey, thanks." Shook his hand. He kind of pointed me in the right direction, gave me a few landmarks. "Don't worry, you can't miss it." I said, "All right, thank you." So as I started to walk off, he goes, "Oh, one more thing. There's an aggressive coyote I've been seeing down in there. Just be careful." And I said, "Oh, coyote. Are you kidding me? Coyotes don't attack adults. Aggressive coyote." There's been cases where they've had rabies, things like that. They become aggressive. But I kind of poo-pooed him and started walking to my tree stand, to his tree stand. Found it. Couldn't figure out how he got up in his tree. He had a few spikes. There were rope hanging down. I think he had a ladder dangling or something. So it was pitch dark. Excuse me. And I said, "You know what? I'm just going to sit under the tree till I get a little bit of light. Make sure we're okay here. I have my bow with me." And so I kind of camouflaged myself in. I found a down branch, put it in front of me. I was leaning against the tree. And the sun started to rise. And I realized I was in a pretty good position. I was kind of overlooking this ridge. And I decided, you know what? I'm not going to climb the tree. I'll just hunt from here. And all of a sudden I hear, ch-ch-ch. And get ready, pick my bow up. Ch-ch-ch. The deer breaking leaves, you know? So I knew it. You could hear the deer a mile away. You know, that sound just keys you off. Ch-ch-ch. And then all of a sudden, I hear him running. I hear the deer run. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Deer stops about 20 yards in front of me. It's a doe. And she's looking behind her. She's spooked. I could tell. So I draw back, and then it dawns on me, what is she spooked by? It must be a male deer. There's a deer chasing her. Maybe the early rut. This was like late October. The early rut, the bucks are starting to chase the does. So I said, all right, I'm not going to shoot her. So she takes off. I'm waiting, and then I hear like Grand Central Station. Here it comes. I guesstimate a 50-pound coyote stops not 20 feet in front of me. All right, looking in the direction deer, doesn't notice me. Now I draw back. I'm thinking about shooting it. When the second coyote I hear comes from my left. Right, the direction the deer had come. So I look off. I could still see the deer at the bottom of the ridge, and I see the sneaky coyote from behind me going off. And the coyote that I saw right in front of me was driving the deer towards the second coyote. I'm convinced of it, that they were working in tandem to take down this doe, and they had this doe cornered. The second coyote on the scene started moving down the ridge right in line, right, you know, not 20 yards in front of the deer to cut the deer off. And then I saw the deer kind of, I guess, win the other coyote. I don't know what happened, but she caught and started running back towards the second coyote. That coyote took off down the hill. The first coyote passed Chris, if it was 5 yards in front of me, ran right by me, didn't even know I was there. So it was an amazing thing to see. I didn't get an animal out of it. But it was amazing just to see the whole operation of these animals.
No, they're very smart, and all the dogs know how to pace themselves. The deer will out-sprint it.
Right.
But the dogs,
they'll stay right on it.
And then they'll get you. They'll tire you out, and then... See, then I would shoot a coyote if it was going after the deer.
Oh, so you would do it to protect the deer.
Yeah.
Because deer are, what?
They're beautiful.
More beautiful than coyotes?
Yeah.
Okay. So these coyotes are in New York, guys. There's two theories to explain their presence in the state of New York. And the first theory is that, of course, the coyotes were here before the Europeans settled North America. And then, you know, we came in, we cleared the forest for our farms, homes, everything else. And these coyotes, these eastern coyotes, just moved up north into the Adirondack Mountains, further up north. And as the southern tier, as these farms started to overgrow and we got more woods again down south, the eastern coyotes have returned. The other theory is that there's really no such thing as an eastern coyote. There was never really an eastern coyote at all, and that through expansion to the west, we actually drove the western coyote further east, and they adapted to, you know, New York State, and here they are. Whatever the case, they're here, and they exist. I have a couple other stories that we could go over, and the best part of the show is coming, Chef, right?
The recipe.
We're going to call it the, what should we call it? The chef segment.
What do they usually say when they don't know what something tastes like? It tastes like chicken, right?
Right.
Does it taste like chicken?
No. Like you said, that was a very nice description, right? Used tire? What did you say? Burning tire.
Burning tire.
That was how it tasted to me. So if, you know what? I have a lot of respect for you, right? You know that. You're a great American, good man. But if you could verbally tell me how to prepare a coyote in a palatable way, it doesn't have to be great, just palatable. I would love it. So right after the break, that's our challenge here. We're going to challenge Chef Chris to see if he could do this. So we're going to take that short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You're listening to Top Gun by Tom Cruise on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Chef Chris Gesualdi, and before the break, we have challenged him to make coyote palatable. And we're going to do that in a minute, Chef, but as we were on break there, I thought of one more story, quick story I want to tell you before we get into the recipe thing. Is that all right?
Sure.
I love telling stories. Hunters love stories, right? And these are all true stories, by the way. Yeah, I stand by that. Just like fishermen, we all tend to, you know, exaggerate, but these are stories actually as they happen. And this story happened in, the Catskill Mountains. And it was, again, I think actually this was my first coyote hunt ever. I had decided, or maybe a second, I can't remember exactly, but I was new to coyote hunting and I had decided, okay, got to do this. I was with a buddy, Chris, and, he owns a place up in the Catskills, beautiful, 16 acres. And we decided, you know what, let's go up in this weekend. It was sometime late February. And of course, the day before we're getting ready to leave, they called for a blizzard up there. They were going to get, you know, 4 feet of snow or something. And then we debated canceling the hunt or should we just rough it out. And he's an outdoorsman. This guy hunts. I'm a former Army soldier. We're like, we're not going to let 4 feet of snow stop us. We'll gear up, get out there and hunt coyotes. They still have to eat. So, to make a long story short, we geared up, we got up there, we geared up, we went out in the woods, and we found this nice kind of this ridgeline, or it was a sloping hill overlooking this clear ground. We had found some sign we thought was coyote. And one of the techniques to drawing in these coyotes is to do an animal in distress call. Now, you know, just as a warning, this is somewhat disturbing, but the animal, you know, the coyotes, they like to take advantage of what they have available to. And if that's a distressed animal, there's not a better meal for a coyote. So we kind of were hunting in tandem. He was going to be the shooter. I was doing the calling. So I was about 20 yards behind him up on this hilltop. He was camouflaged down a little lower, and we were overlooking this field when I started doing my calls. And then... the animal in distress, right? You can imagine how that would appeal to a coyote. He's thinking, I got a rabbit down in big trouble, broken legs, whatever the case may be. When you hear that, when that coyote hears that screaming from that little animal, it's going to beeline in. So we're overwatching the field, and I'm calling. I don't know, maybe it was a half hour or so. I'm out of breath, trying to do these aggressive calls. And all of a sudden, I hear a branch break behind me. So I'm camouflaged in. It's snow, 4 feet of snow. I'm sitting in this snow hole, basically, that I had dug out. And I had a camouflage, everything white. And I just turned around to my left. And there stood a coyote, not 10 yards from me. And when he saw me move, he didn't know I was there. But when he saw me move, he was trying to figure out where the distressed rabbit was. He saw me move. He started growling at me. I don't know if he thought maybe I was the rabbit. Couldn't figure it out with all the white. Started growling at me. And when I went for my rifle, he just beelined it out of there. But this distress call works. These coyotes, like I said, they'll take advantage of what they have. And if they hear the distressed animal, they're moving in. So coyote hunting, you know, I recommend it. If you're a hunter already, haven't tried it, get out there. Fool around with it. There's a lot of different techniques. Coyotes can be hunted, I believe, anytime from October to the end of March. March is a great time in the spring when they start moving around. They're throwing their young out of their family. They want their young to go establish their own areas, territories. So they're a little confused in March. You know, it's a great time to get out there. It's starting to warm up a little bit. You could hunt them at night. You could use lights. There's a lot of options. It's a really fun hunt. But having said that, you know me, Mr. Responsibility, if you kill it, figure out a way to eat it, okay? Don't just leave it there. Utilize the animal. And that's why I have Chef Chris here, who last week said, we're going to do a show about coyotes. And he said, he's a very calm man. He said, no problem. And I said, no, it is a problem because you can't make it delicious. It's not a problem. I'm a brilliant chef. I know how to do everything. Don't worry. I'm into molecular gastronomy. You don't think I could cook a dog and make it palatable? And so I said, all right, chef, you never let me down. So let's hear what you came up with, chef.
Well, you're probably going to tell me the recipe is too complicated. But
hold on. What? So I'm stupid?
No, there's more than like one step, so.
See this?
But
at least I'm man enough to go kill an animal and eat it. But go ahead, sorry.
I've never actually eaten coyote. I can just go by what I've heard and read.
Okay.
Strong flavor. Maybe a flavor that you don't agree with. So what I would do, I have exact amounts here. I take 2 pounds of coyote from the leg or the shoulder, cut it up in chunks like for stew.
And all right, so the leg or the shoulder, we're talking about a lean, firm cut of meat here, right? Obviously, like all animals.
But a little tough.
Yeah,
and to get rid of that harsh flavor, I would recommend putting it in a pot of cold water and bringing it to a boil and then draining it and washing off the meat.
All right.
Okay?
And I'm envisioning the aroma in my kitchen as I'm boiling out coyote shoulder.
Well, either way, you're going to get that smell sooner or later.
Right. We might as well get rid of it early in the game.
After it's all blanched and washed off, then we're going to marinate it, okay? So we're going to take all these ingredients that I'm going to list, and we're going to mix it together with the meat. So I got a half a cup of soy sauce, a tablespoon of sesame oil, 3 tablespoons of minced ginger, 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, 3 tablespoons of rice wine vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon of red pepper flakes, and 1 tablespoon of salt. Let that marinate overnight if you can.
Nice. So we've got I like where your head's at here, Chef. We're doing a little Asian twist on the coyote?
Yeah.
All right.
So we're going to cover up that flavor. The next day, you're going to drain the meat and reserve the marinade, okay?
Okay.
So the second part of the recipe is you're going to need 7 tablespoons of canola plus 3 tablespoons of canola. So keep
all right, white canola. You're talking to two Italians doing a show about preparing wild game, and you're using canola.
High smoking point, neutral flavor.
Thank you, chef.
Okay, you got 1/4 cup of cornstarch plus another tablespoon of cornstarch, okay? 1 tablespoon of water, 2 tablespoons minced ginger,
tablespoon of minced garlic, half a cup of minced scallions, 2 cups of sliced shiitakes, and 2 cups of broth. If you don't have broth, use water.
What do you mean broth? I'm a pastry chef. Broth.
Like chicken broth? Beef broth?
Veal?
I don't know if you got coyote broth home. I got just about everything in my freezer.
That's kind of what I made. It wasn't really stew. It was like a disgusting coyote broth. Yeah.
So our meat has been marinated. It's been drained. You're going to toss the meat in that quarter cup of cornstarch, okay?
Okay.
You're going to heat the 7 tablespoons of canola oil, and you're going to sear it nicely, nice and brown.
Why the cornstarch?
Just to give it a little bit of crust. And if you got to do it in batches, you do it in batches.
Okay.
You want a nice color, okay? You really want to develop that burnt tire flavor.
So it's really cooked through already. I mean, we boiled it, right, in the first step.
Right.
So it's already cooked through. So we're just trying to crisp it up now, get that texture.
And you want to make sure it's cooked through. You don't want to be eating rare coyote because you want to kill the rabies disease.
Yes.
So after you brown the meat, drain, take it out of the pan, throw away the fat, add the other 3 tablespoons of canola oil, and then you're going to saute the garlic, the ginger, the scallions, the shiitakes for about 2 or 3 minutes. Add the seared meat back. Add the marinade that you reserved. Add your broth. Bring it to a boil, and you're going to make what we call a slurry. 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, 1 tablespoon of water. Mix it together and add it to that boiling stew. It's going to thicken immediately. Turn it down to a simmer and let it go about 20 or 30 minutes till it's tender, and adjust the consistency if it gets too thick.
Okay. So what is this? This is a stir fry.
This is a stir fry coyote.
Look at that.
I actually made it with pork the other day, so I know it works.
Okay. It works. Yeah, with pork.
Yeah, it's going to work with this too.
It'll work. So let me your strategy here, as an amateur, please allow me, is strong flavors. We're being real aggressive with the techniques.
Right.
And the ingredients we're using, because we're really trying to mask this coyote kind of flavor that's built into the coyote, right?
Like you said, if you're going to kill it, eat it. But if you're going to eat it, you might as well enjoy it.
I like where your head's at, Chef. You know what? I'm going hunting for coyote. That's it. You've motivated me now. Because I got to be honest with you, I was kind of like, oh, if I don't kill one, it's okay, because I really don't like eating it. I force myself to eat it. And like I said, I've only killed one coyote. It's not like I'm the master coyote hunter. You watch some of these programs, these guys, there's some dedicated coyote guys. They know how to hunt these animals.
You hunt alone?
I have deer hunting. I don't think I would hunt coyotes alone, just based on the fact that if I am coyote hunting, it's generally the end of February, upstate New York, a lot of snow, slippery rocks, break my ankle, die in the woods. I don't really want to go out that way. But I'll take you, Chef. You don't even have to kill anything. How about you be the call guy? I'll do the shooting, you do the calling.
That's even exciting, some of the people outside the window here.
They could hear that out there?
Yeah.
They're trying to enjoy their pizza here at Roberta's, and they're getting distressed animal calls.
That's the most noise some of them heard in a long time.
As long as they know it's not coming from the kitchen, right? Yeah, so thank you. That's amazing. Eventually, what's
going to... Why, you couldn't put coyote on the pizza? Make a calzone?
Listen, this is your side of the... I don't know. Can you? I wouldn't, because I don't know how to do it. But you should ground coyote.
The other white meat.
Coyote sausage. I still don't understand the canola thing. Don't tell me the highest smoke point. You could get away with that with olive oil. Let's get some extra.
You can use olive oil if you like.
Put a little olive oil in
there. Change the recipe out there
if you want to. American and everything, but don't forget about your heritage, all right? Where you came from, Chef.
You're right, Chef.
Don't forget that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
I know you're American.
Well, we'll fix that recipe.
Proud of that. Fix that. No, Chef did a great job here. I was challenged with the coyote thing. Like I said, I made a mess of it. Unfortunately, my friends, that is all the time we have today. First of all, I'd like to thank the producer, Jack, the gangster, in the little booth, doing a great job. He produced and engineered today's show. Of course, I'd like to thank the great American, Chris Gesualdi.
Thank you, Chad.
I'd like to thank my audience. Thank you for listening. And please tune in to the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.